What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Behind the Wheel podcast. You know who we are. We don't need to talk about it anymore. We're moving through it. No? Listen, we are going to go to our guest.
Okay,
live,
straight into it.
Live
from?
I don't remember where they are.
But Utah. They're
in Utah. No, I don't mean Utah. I mean, what's the name of the...
Oh, so it's actually a new track. It's called Utah Motorsports.
Yeah, see, you
something?
Don't know me either.
That's Utah Motorsports Campus.
All
I
right.
I think I got it right.
Anyhow, we're going live to Travis. He's in Utah. Travis Reeder, I could do one of those big Jared intros, but it would suck and no one cares. So, What I'm going to say is this. Travis Reeder, Formula Jeff Pro Driver, he's in seventh place, top 10.
That's right.
FD, solid season so far. Bring on the Reeder.
That's right. Oh, we got a whole intro going on for you,
too.
What
does Jared call you? He calls you the mail greeter, the Walmart greeter.
There's so many of them, dude.
Walmart
he comes
greeter,
up with a
reader?
New one every week.
Yeah.
Every week. There's Walmart greeter. There's the speed reader.
Right.
I got that one.
Right.
He's always talking about my words per minute. And then we got the grim reader. That's a cool one, but that one doesn't
like
come
that
out very often.
Because
it's too cool, so he just can't use that one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so.
don't underestimate Travis's WPM, you know what I mean? it was actually pretty funny. If you saw the, New Jersey where you came out in the Walmart outfit?
Seattle. Yeah, so,
that's
like,
right.
one of the fans in Seattle had a legit, like, Walmart vest.
Yeah.
And he made up a name tag that had my name on it. And he
awesome.
Brought to me an autograph session. I signed it. And he's like, if you go into 16, you have to wear it on intros. And I'm like, oh, I'm down.
Yeah.
And I wore it on intros, and it was, like, pretty hilarious.
Man.
Travis Reeder,
the Walmart greeter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets
a bunch of people actually think that I work at Walmart because of Jared. Like, I get it all the time. Like, wait, did he actually work there? And I'm like, guys, come on.
Oh, my God. People are so naive. It's
so,
like, they really believe that, you know?
So, let's talk about, listen, big – solid season so far. You're in seventh. We obviously know that kind of getting into that podium area for the season is a tall task. But
if one person could do it, it's Travis.
Not tall task from skill level. Tall task just from standings level at this point, right? That's what we're talking about. Utah. What have you gotten through practice? No, your practice tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll practice tomorrow. I've driven on the sim.
Ah, that's what I was gonna ask. Yeah. Okay.
What do you think about the course and the layout that they have set up this year for there? Because we've never seen this track before.
Yeah, I've driven it like kind of every which way on the sim, and they're pretty good at like modeling the sim tracks. They pretty much go off GPS, and they're pretty damn close, as far as like I'm concerned with the ones that I've driven. I've driven multiple different layouts. They have it set up in a way that I wouldn't necessarily do it, but we'll see how it goes. We're also going to have some weather this weekend, so it could be raining like all weekend, or it could be patchy, or it could just disappear and dry because there's supposed to be like scattered thunderstorms like till Sunday or something. So we'll see. But if it holds out and it's dry, the track should be fast. Like it should be 105, 110 mile an hour entries, at least. The track's flat. The last turn's got a little bit of banking, but pretty much it's a flat road course. It's kind of the last two turns are like big sweeping S turns. So, that should be super sick. It's kind of just like, you should be able to just hold it wide and not have to lift and just as fast as you can through it, which would be dope. But yeah, we'll see. Practice tomorrow afternoon. I think pro spec practices before us like bright and early. So we'll see how they like it. And if I don't like it, I'll let them know and see if we can change it. But we don't get a lot of practice either because it's kind of a packed weekend. So
we'll see. Because you guys are running both events. I think the hard part for me with like some of those big opening S curves there is that you end up having that situation where, especially in pro spec, where some of the cars don't have maybe as much power or for the, you know, that kind of layout, it really eats power up. You know what I mean? So like you get to those parts like, you seem to find that that's where those cars struggle. They don't, you know, they tend to lose their line a little bit or bobble trying to keep the car kind of powering through. Do you think that from your standpoint, like this is a good look, like providing this track is dry, This is going to be, where do you rank this on the technical scale for some of the pros?
As far as like difficulty?
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be difficult, and that's why I'm stoked to drive it. Because there's some tracks that are like so technical and there's so many places you can make a mistake that I feel like it takes away from the show.
Yeah.
And like, if we have like Orlando's always really good battles because the track is two turns and it's super easy.
Yeah.
So like the tandem's always really good. Downside, it's kind of boring to watch like from a standpoint of just like single cars.
Yeah.
But like this one should be like, if everything goes well, like it's probably a difficulty factor of like 6, maybe, like just sheer fact that like it should be really fast and you have to like hit all your marks in the sense that like every zone you're going to come up to with a lot of speed. So you just have to be precise on like where you're scrubbing speed or like where you're carrying momentum through. But like, if it's done right, it should have really, really good tandem potential. And on top of that, like the venue is super nice too. Like yeah. this entire venue is like really professional. It's huge. So I mean, hopefully it works out. Hopefully it's good to drive and we get a good show. And like, I'd rather it be easier, you know, because yeah. I want to go out there and just be able to drive 11 out of 10 the whole time
yeah.
and just like shred with the boys. Cause that's like what makes it fun.
Right.
I don't know.
I really hope that it doesn't turn into one of those things where it gets really spotty. You know what I mean? Like with the rain and you get those dry patches. Cause that makes it super difficult for you guys. It makes the whole show look just absolutely horrific. And it's hard because like, you don't know where to judge things. You come in, you have speed, you hit those dry spots, like, you know, going from nothing to grip, how do you adjust the cars? It just turns into a solid mess, you know?
Do you guys prep for stuff like that? Like just curiosity, you know, like for example, if you know rain is coming, is there like a prep for that? Just, you know, just throwing a question out there.
Yeah. We like, everyone has like a rain setup. So there's like a process we go through depending on how wet it is and like kind of track conditions. So we will change the car up a little bit, not a ton, but we will change it up a little bit to gain like some more drivability in the rain. But for the most part, it all depends on like what your spotter tells you from track conditions and what FD is doing also. Cause like sometimes when it's pouring, they'll like take a break. And sometimes when it's pouring, they're like, all right guys, fend for yourselves. Like you're going anyways.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hit and miss. You never know what you're going to get, but like, there's kind of like a general idea of what to do once the rain comes to like try to make the car more manageable, especially for patchy conditions. Cause like that's super unpredictable and it makes it super difficult to drive the car, and an even harder in tandem when like someone else is making mistakes at different points that you don't expect on top of you having to like keep the car going. So yeah, it gets a little sketchy. So we're hoping for the least amount of that as possible.
Yeah. So from the beginning, let's do the kind of a check-in. So before the season started, what were your goals that you wanted to come away with from this season?
I mean, finishing top 10 is always a goal. And like, I mean, getting on the box is always the other goal. And like, we've accomplished one of those things. So like, that's cool. Cause we won Jersey. So I've never podiumed in Pro 1. We've only podiumed in Pro 2,
which was, sick.
Yeah. And like went straight to the top, which was wild. Like first time on the box and we're on the top spot. So that was like super rad. So that was like big accomplishment. I realized that like once you do that, it's like even harder to do it again, and you just get more mad when you get knocked out. Because like the team gets all this confidence, you know, and you get all this like all this drive, and you're like super pumped. And then like when you lose, it's like it's just a tougher pill to swallow, you know, because you're like, now you know that you're capable. Like you have that concrete evidence that you're capable of winning an event. So when you don't make it there, it like makes it like, it just makes me more hungry, I guess, even more hungry than I was before. But yeah, I mean, 3 spots away out of the 10, like, is good. I think we finished 14th and 15th the last 3 years. Like mid pack's like good, but like breaking in the top 10 is always like a good goal. Like being like an overall top 8 driver in this sport's like pretty difficult. So trying to make sure you can do that is like a whole nother level of like team and like preparation, I feel like.
Do you feel that having that win under your belt, does it change the the pressure level for you as far as when you go into an event? Do you hold yourself to any different standards now that you never, that you didn't before? Do you, I mean, I know you, you kind of just met, touched on it a little bit, but does that win change your mentality at all? Or is it really just once you get in the car, like you kind of shut it off and just drive and it is what it is?
I mean, I'm like, you can ask my guys, like I'm always like my biggest and harshest critic. Yeah, no matter what. And like, I'm always like critiquing myself in every way possible. So I wouldn't necessarily say that like I'm any harder on myself now, because like the mistakes and the ways you go out in competition is always going to be kind of the same. It's either like, it's either you got beat or you beat yourself. There's only two options and you just like learn from that, you know? Yeah. So either you made a mistake or you got outdrove. And if you get outdrove, then you just have to learn how to be better. And if you make a mistake and take yourself out, you just do whatever you can to make sure you don't make that mistake again. Most of the time it's easier said than done, you know, because this like stuff is not easy. But I mean, yeah, it's, I'm like, I'm super hard on myself. The guys are always super supportive and they rip and like, they get it. They get how hard it is. Like everyone's here to do their job. Like the team's job is like make the car ready to go. And my job is to drive it. And like, I put a lot of pressure on myself to try to complete my job to the best of my ability. So, and in the end, like none of these guys should be out here competing if you didn't feel like you could win every event. Like if you don't come here feeling like you can win, then what's the point of competing? So everyone should have that mindset. And I mean, that's our mindset and we just roll with it. And if we're out, like we take 15 minutes of beating ourselves up and then we start planning for the next one and do what we can to better it for the next time. You know, it's always a looking forward thing, like never looking back, always like trying to progress.
By the way, I was going to say, so, and maybe I'm biased here because obviously, you know, you're one of the drivers that we work with, but that event, the FDJ event, you versus Rome, was probably one of the craziest but funnest events that I've ever seen, just because of like what everything was going on, even when the car, you know, what happened with the car and then like all the fans kind of coming through to help out and then getting back on the track. Dude, it was just insane to see you both going at it. But to my question, obviously one of the things as, you know, as a fan following your career and you being good with so many different platforms and now being on the E46, just curiosity, is this like kind of the platform that you're going to stick with? Because obviously you've been seeing some success with it, or is it you're looking for something different in the next coming up year season?
No, dude, this car is everything I've ever wanted in an FD car at this level. And like, there's no doubt in my mind that this is like a like podium capable car every round. And it's not too far off of that as far as like hardware wise, like it needs, I think it could use like a little more power and we could have a little more of like a variety of setup, but we're still learning that and that takes a while to acquire. But yeah, like the E46, dude, is like, in my mind, the best bang for your buck for a competitive drift car and even like a grassroots car. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a car that like drove so easy and was so fast at the same time. And that's like, that's what it is. Like, cause these cars get all hooked up and you put a bunch of grip in them and like they get increasingly harder to drive and harder to control. And this car is the best of both worlds in my eyes. And like, I would only change if I got like a ride, like I'm from another team and they like supplied a car, like if it made sense, like that's the only way I would change. Other than that, like this car, like I'll give it a couple more years until it's a crumpled beer can. And I'll just like go grab one from a scrapyard for free and build another one and just keep it rolling. Because like, it just makes too much sense to stick with it. Cause like, obviously you guys have seen it. Like the paddock is becoming like BMW city. It's transitioning from S chassis. Yeah. Like you have the small crew of like brand new car guys, like from Toyota or like Ford, you know, and those are like the new car guys. And then you have like, the like S chassis dudes. And then you have the BMW dudes. And then there's a very small section of like outliers and that's it. So like, it's basically like before it was like a lot of 240s and then some other stuff, but now it's like, it's some 240s, mostly BMWs, and then some like Toyotas and Mustangs. And then like, that's it, you know? So it's starting to shift a little bit, like it does.
Yeah. If your practice car is affectionately called the banana. So we have the E36 that you've been piloting for a number of years as, you know, kind of your practice car. And doing some, you know, grassroots stuff. And then now you have, you know, this the E46. So, like, if I'm a new to drifting, right, and I want to, I mean, there's no doubt you can find an E36 pretty much on every street corner if you need to. What do I have to do when I first get this E36 to get it to the point where I could go out and not do pro-am, but compete in some grassroots singular events and make the car driftable? You know what I mean? Like, because yeah. I know that they also have a lot of not subframe issues, but, you know, the strut tower areas where they starts to peel away. Like, what are some things I need to do or worry about when I'm trying to get that E46 in check?
Yeah, I mean, it's really not, like, it's not as bad as you would think. Like, obviously, if you're going to beat the crap out of the car, like, subframe reinforcements are mandatory because, like, BMW did it as an OE, like, later on. Like, it was a factory recall. So, like, that's obviously a thing. The rest of the cars are, like, they're tanks. Like, you would need some good shocks, an angle kit, a seat, a handbrake, a diff, like whether it be like welded and find your preferred ratio. I like the 391s for the E36s or E46. You do like a 346 or a 364 and then it's happy. And then you just try to make the car make like 200, 220 wheel, whether it's be like just a 2.8 with some cams and a chip, or if you have an M car, it'll make that. Usually I try to just stick with a 2.8 or bigger with any of them, because they drive kind of like mini V8s. And then you just stick with like a 225 17 and like that's basically all the banana is. And it's like more than enough. Like, I'll keep up with 400 horsepower cars. I get on a 225 45. It's one of those things where like the cars drive so good. And like, if you do the basics and you make sure just like the typical, like little issues, like you make sure your coolant system's refreshed, so like it doesn't spit the clutch fan through the hood, and you make sure like, you don't like solid mount everything, because then you start breaking stuff. Like, you leave the drive shaft jubo, and you leave like soft diff bushing, soft diff bushing, soft trans bushing, soft motor mounts. You leave all that in so everything can flex and be happy, and you just make sure they're not tearing apart. And you can just literally just run the clutch and just beat the crap out of that thing for like an eternity, and you won't ever have to touch it. They're so simple and so good. I put 15,000 drift miles almost on the banana.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you ask a question because you're thinking of it, or what? What's up?
Oh, I mean, I always think about a lot of things, but I don't know that I'm running to do it. We don't have anywhere to drift. I mean, what am I gonna do? Like, clip down a one.
You can drive to Jersey, man. Club loose. You know,
it's like three. It's like by the time I got a car out there, it'd be like 2.5 hours to be able to. And then all the
traffic. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Yo, but that's because you drive from, like,
I know, right? This guy drives cross country every other day.
Like, the hard part is here is that you have this island, right? And then there's this mega differential of traffic and chaos, and you have to go through that to get to the other side.
Did you? When you were here, did you ever try to go to New York, Travis? Because
what, the city?
From Jersey to New York City. Did you ever try to do that?
No. Yeah. No, I never went in there.
It'll cost you about $45,000 just to get across.
I got my tolls, and like, I have never had tolls so high in my toe in the rig, because I just started like driving through them. Like, I didn't care. Like, I wasn't stopping. I was in the rig, and I probably paid $350 in tolls to get from like between to Jersey and then from Jersey to St. Louis.
Yep.
Like, it was horrible. But
It's all in Jersey. I'm telling you, all that money is $300 in Jersey. The rest of it was $50 everywhere else.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, we just like, we left like Washington State yesterday, and like me and Jake just like cruised straight here to Salt Lake, like in one day. Like, it's 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's like quick cruise down the freeway. Yeah. Because at least it's not Florida.
Yeah. That's,
you know?
Well, yeah, Florida. Although, see, you said it was humid there, so. I don't know.
Well, I'm saying, like, as far as, like, lengthwise, like, quarter to quarter there, it takes us, like, it's, like, 3,000 miles, like, 3,200 miles or something. It's crazy.
That is the worst. What does your typical week look like on an FD round? So you got there today or yesterday?
We rolled in last night.
Okay.
So, like, usually roll in Tuesday, drop the rig at the track, go to the hotel, hang out, and then all the guys are flying in usually Tuesday or first thing Wednesday morning. And I either pick them up at the airport or they Uber into the track, whatever makes sense. And we just all go to the track, get the trailer dropped, get the car out, prep the car, usually get it up on jack stands, clean some stuff, do like our typical like reprep routine, set up the pit area, go to will call, run around, bullshit with everybody. Cause it's like
the waiting game.
High school
yeah.
reunion. Yeah. It's like, well, it's also like the high school reunion that you actually want to go to, but 8 times a year. So like everyone hangs out, you know, you like roll through the pits and say what's up and everyone's chilling. And then Thursday is when you just start like your practice and everything. And, Thursday's usually practice. Sometimes it's qualifying. And then, yeah, you kind of weasel in like prospect stuff in between, and it kind of like, you just follow the schedule and hang out, and like, it's pretty standard operation throughout the week. And then the traveling circus shuts down and you head home. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. You
yeah.
know?
Wait. So to lead to my question, and I honestly believe that you two are the future of this whole like FD stuff, you and Rome.
Oh, me?
When you,
oh.
When, no, sorry. Not you.
I thought you meant me and Travis were the future. I was ready.
But, and I need to know this just because I'm not in the inside, you know, I can't see. So when you see Rome, obviously I feel like that's like your, for me specifically, every time I see you guys line up together, I'm like, hell yeah.
See, I like when him, I like when
like,
him,
hell
and
yeah.
I always liked when him and Dylan line up.
Well, yeah. Well, that too. But I'm thinking about it as like, two dudes that are coming, you know, because I feel like Dylan, oh, well, Dylan too. Actually, that's one of your biggest competitions too. I just realized that. But
everybody's this competition.
I know, but
he's
you
got
guys 32 like,
other dudes.
The BMW,
like...
what I'm talking about, the BMW dudes, do you guys look at each other and be like, yo, that's my competition? Or do you guys like, when you see each other in that high school reunion, you guys are just like, hey, what's up, man? You guys are actually buddies and stuff.
Trying yeah, to no, everyone's spicy. Chill, dude. Like, no, this is a family. Like, the FD shit is like, the sport's so small still, there's no room for all that drama. Like, there's some teams that have beef with other teams or drivers that don't like other guys, and like everyone has that, but like for the most part, like any team here is going to give you a part you need or do whatever they got to do to make sure you get on track, because like in the end, like this sport needs to grow for us to be able to continue to do this, and it yeah. can't grow if like if we're just, you know, it can't grow if we all don't get along and like come together as a team. So like everyone's cool, you know. Once the visor goes down in the helmet, it's a different story. But like, as soon as the helmets come back off, we're all cool. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, there's been plenty of times where like I've knocked Dylan out, or Dylan's knocked me out, or Rome, or whatever. And like, you never want to get beat, but you're always like, all right, dude, cool. Like, good job. Keep it going, and I'll fucking get you next time. Like, yeah. That's it. You know. Nice. So, it's like everyone's chill, dude. Like, it's all good, and we just. Like everyone just wants to continue to drift and make the sport better. Like everyone wants FD to get bigger. We want more money to come into the sport, more sustainability. Yeah. We want it to be just as big as we can get it, 'cause that's what we love to do.
Yeah.
So there's no room for animosity there. Like in my eyes, like everyone's gotta be chill and like work at it.
Right. Yeah. We don't want any animosity, but if you had to pick somebody that you're going to throw some,
That's what I was trying
on.
To get to.
Which two
that's
driver,
what I was trying
which,
to get
which
to.
Which two drivers want to cut a beef? You know what I mean? Like,
who got the beef?
Who's
bringing
the
beef?
I don't think I have beef with anybody.
No, not you. Like, but let's pick two drivers that we can pin them against each other. That's,
yeah.
If we're going to have a podcast, let's pick some people that we can just throw under a bus. That feels
like
good.
Historically that, like yeah. historically that have beef?
You know what I mean? Like beef.
Ooh, we know some.
Well, there's like...
I won't make
like there's always like
out,
drama between like Vaughn and JTP always like were always a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like that was always like an interesting battle, and they always like to crash into each other, and there's
but
some drama
that, but,
usually.
But that's not like, I don't know that they didn't really have like I'm gonna cut you beef. It was kind of just like this major like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Dude, I don't think anybody here is like straight up like, yo, I just can't, like I hate that guy. You know?
I just think that the sport might get better if we can get more like hockey fights to happen during the event. It's just a thought. Maybe bring it up with Ryan in the next driver's meeting. Just like, hey, like quick suggestion. I'm thinking like if something doesn't go right, can we get out of the car and pummel the other driver?
It could be like a rule, you know, like hockey for sure. Like, you know,
yeah.
You get about 5
I
seconds,
mean,
put a circle around the
I mean,
track.
NASCAR has it.
Yeah.
Like NASCAR has fights, and they usually just get like a small fine or a brush on the shoulder, and they just like go their separate ways.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, that always makes it entertaining. I always love seeing people, like, fight each other.
Yeah.
Like, even in F1, if someone does something stupid, they're like, hucking helmets at each other. And, like, they'll be, like, in the press, like, just airing the other dude out or whatever their story is, you know, and they're, like, ruthless with it. Like, I don't know. I dig that for sure. But I feel like that, like, I don't know, dude. It's, like, I feel like people don't do, like, I don't know. Travis, I don't know if there's, like.
Look, we need more shit talking. There's just nothing we can do about it. We, you know, WWE, we need just a little bit more. It can even be coerced and planned. Like, maybe there's some sort of unofficial script that's circulating in the back where you guys all are in on it. You know what I mean? Throw some good WWE drama in there for the live stream. I really think that could knock things up a few notches.
Yeah, Stooky, I got a fiesta for you. Let's go. What's up, Stooky?
Oh, no, listen, you keep your people to yourself. I don't want to start with this stuff. So, I do have, you know, here's an interesting point. So you're probably the only, well, no, you are the only FD Pro driver that has piloted a competition electric drift car.
Ooh.
With everything kind of going electric, we've seen NASCAR made an announcement that they will go electric. We've seen all these different things happen where, you know, where these people are going electric. Let's say in the next, especially if this whole RPM act doesn't get through and the EPA continues to be as awful as I think that they're going to continue to be, when, let's say that transition has to happen, What does it look like? You know, do you think that the sport continues to survive? I know that the cars are it's driftable, but do you think the sport suffers from that, or do you think it just becomes a migration?
I don't think it's sustainable at all.
Really?
I think you take away all the key points of why motorsports is motorsports. Like,
yeah,
like the electric stuff is cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, I would love to have a Tesla and go rip it around every day because they're super fast.
Yeah.
But from like, and the technology is cool. But like from a motorsports standpoint, you can't just, you would have to have separate series. Like this would have to continue to exist for it to work. You'd have to have an additional combustion engine class, and then you'd have to have an electric class. And you could probably like intermingle them a little bit, but like you can't get rid of one or the other. Or you can't get rid of the internal combustion motors altogether. Mm. I don't think it can happen. Like, driving that car was super cool in the sense that it was, like, the only one. And it was, like, it was just interesting and different. And, like, obviously it was, like, we were the first people to do it, like, me and Napoleon.
Yeah.
But, like, the other side is, if there was two battles, in the hands is just like, what? Like, it's so weird. It just makes it so EV fast. I did a demo last and it was like, it was all time. They were doing motocross racing, road racing, other stuff.
Sorry, hold on one second, Travis. We're having a slight technical issue.
We're having like an audio issue. He's gonna bring him back in.
Oh, he may cancel you and bring you back in. So
it'll take 2 seconds.
Maybe.
Well,
there he goes. There he goes. We're back.
There,
Travis,
he is.
Are you back? No, he's sort of back. I think it just has to do with the Wi-Fi. Hey, do you think you can quit the call? Just come right back. People love this stuff on our podcast. Yeah. So we're good.
Technical issues.
All right, just come right back in. We'll keep everybody down while you. So I'm gonna do a party trick for you. Let's pick a number between 1 and 10. Oh, Travis, I hear the doorbell.
There he is.
Do we fix it, Travis? Let's say.
Yummy.
Oh yeah, I think so.
I'm hoping so. If not, we'll conclude our.
Wait, so I was into it. So we were talking about EVs and how it's going to change, but he was basically saying
like it's the death of drifting comes at the door of not continuing internal combustion engine, at least a class, and going fully electric. But my biggest fear, Travis, like, and this is straight up, as a car enthusiast, as somebody that like I think I'm where you are. I can see EVs going forward. I think it's a rushed effort to try to put them on the street right now in the way they're doing. I mean, hell, California just a week ago had to have an advisory to basically tell people with the rolling blackouts because they have no grid that they need to not charge their cars because they just can't allow the power. Like, that is a major, major blow. And the reason it's so bad is because you don't have – I think we're up to what? They said, like, in California, there's, like, what, 17 or 18% of drivers that are even remotely in the hybrid or electric phase right now. So you haven't even scratched the surface with the numbers, but yet you're – and you know the grid has to get a lot better, but you're so fully committed into something that you don't have any idea of. Like, the EPA is blind to the fact that there are other pathways to get to where they need to be. And to be able to go to electric, but in a timeline that makes sense for the grid to be able to catch up. Right now, there's no infrastructure there. So look, I'm where you are, which is that I still think for motorsport, it's such a small piece of the overall emissions pollution. I mean, it would be unmeasurable if you took racing here. If you took racing and you essentially put it over here and you looked at all the other pieces of emissions, it would be like 0.0000 something percent. You know what I mean? Like, there's cows that caused us more issues to the environment than not. So, you know, there's that. But I think that just the way everything's going EPA-wise, I think, unfortunately, it is very plausible and very possible that we will be in a position in a matter of a few years at least where there's a potential that they will ban racing with internal combustion engines because of the whole you can't modify a vehicle from its form. Now
I don't know if they'll be able to like pass that, dude.
Well, I think they did pass it, Travis. I think the hard part is, does the RPM Act end up getting through where it allows an emission for dedicated race vehicles, right? Like, if they come up with something where they do this. I think that the NASCAR blow that people are not paying attention to is the fact that when they said that NASCAR would go electric, that to me is the ultimate blow to inevitability, because what you're looking at is that if you watch any of those EPA things, I didn't mean to turn this into an EPA podcast, but if you watch any of those things, you will see a strong argument where the EPA and strongly designates racing as NASCAR. They don't understand cars. They don't understand racing. They don't understand the race series. And the only way that they've been able to They always refer to it. When people say, well, are you going to outdo racing or whatever, their always answer is, well, we spoke at the NASCAR. Like, we spoke to – like, so NASCAR to me was like the piece that was keeping things floating. If that dissolves, I think it's going to be a real tough battle and uphill battle from there. So the problem that we would have in that situation is that we would have to figure out a way to make – again, I'm not saying which way I like. I'm just saying – in that situation, if the sport had to continue to exist, do you feel that enthusiasts would get to a point where they're like, all right, you know what? Like, it is what it is. I'm going to have to develop these cars. There's going to be obviously a lot more electric resources because the cars will obviously be more abundant in different things. Do you think the sport can survive? I know you answered it, but like...
I think it would die. I think it would die in like every form of motorsport. Like, who's going to go to NHRA to watch electric cars go down the drag strip?
Yeah.
Like, you go there to watch Top Fuel because it like beats your chest down. Like, that's why you go.
So yeah. that's actually a good, sorry to cut you off there, Travis. That's actually what I wanted to say. And this is as a fan of FD, one of the reasons why I love going to the live events is for that exact example, is that roaring feeling that you get once you're there, just seeing the cars pass by you. And, you know, and I'm going to be frank here. Although the driving, when you had the ZL1, or the EL1, sorry. Right?
Yeah, sure.
although your driving was skillful when you would go down the line, it just seemed different. It felt different just because, not the fact that the driving in the car wasn't great, but it just didn't have the same feeling because it just didn't have that internal combustion engine going. And that's a part of it, I think, right? Or am I wrong? Is that part of the sport?
I think that's Travis's point to a T, I guess. Yeah.
Like, you could mix them in together, you know, but, like, it definitely gives a different feel. And, like, the crazy thing to me is, like, I'm pretty sure that L.A. County does more emissions in 15 minutes than we would do in 10 years 100%. Of FD.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, what's even the point of, like, trying to shut any of the... I feel like L.A. County in an hour does more than all of racing in the United States does in 10 years.
Yes, sir.
So, like, it's so pointless to me to go after that. Like, go after it a different way. Like, I would rather be forced to drive an electric car every day than to give up, like, racing and be forced to race an electric car. Because, one, it's not sustainable. It's way more expensive. And, two, it's just, like, it kills the whole, like, point of... Like, it kills the whole history of motorsports, you know? Like, the whole reason I got into cars is because, like, I love engines and, like, loud shit. And it just, like, feels and smells and sounds cool. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it's just different. But, like, not that I'm knocking the electric stuff. The electric stuff's still cool in its own right. But, like, the base of all these motorsports comes from the other side.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it'd be, like, the industry would really suffer, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the concern with all this stuff is that, you know, there's really no provision being made for the fact that you have a big industry of people with livelihoods and enthusiasts that kind of, you know, this is their outlet. Like, you know, what happens? You can't ban all these cars. It's just, it's a messy situation. We're not going to go down more EPA stuff, but I just think it's interesting because you bring in a unique perspective.
Yep.
By having piloted an electric vehicle, mm-hmm. and if it was to go that way. I mean, listen, I got to tell you, there are some pretty cool electric vehicles that people have put together. I'm not talking about from factory, but, like, there are some, you know, so I've seen some an E36 and an E46 electric that have been drifting and playing around. They're very cool cars. I'm not knocking any of that stuff. I think that there is a pathway where they can be you know, fun, but it's different, and, you know, and mm-hmm. you have to be able to bring enough people with you, and this sport is already small enough comparatively to some of these other motorsports, so, you know, it's a tough stab, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever driven a Tesla?
Yes.
Like a performance package Tesla or like a yeah. plaid Tesla?
Yeah. Well, so I've driven a performance package, and I've been in a plaid. And I've said this to these guys a lot, and I've said it before on, like, even the live stream, is that, you know, to me, my fear is that, like, I think we're going to go really fast and then completely backward because the cars are so fast
yeah.
that you're going to get to a point where tires that there won't be a tire that can keep up with what these cars are able to put down. But then yeah. in the same respect, you have this other issue, which is that they're going to be cars that are updated over the air, you know? So what's going to end mm-hmm. up happening is they're going to be like, all right, you know what? There's really no reason for anybody to have to go over 80 miles an hour. And they're just going to put this thing in and cut you off. You know what? We know that the car can accelerate like this, but we're going to put this update out there and you're not going to be able to accelerate anymore up, you know, past 4 seconds or whatever it is, because that's just too fast.
How about you, Travis?
Dude,
I'll
take it one step farther and get in the conspiracy theory side of it.
Yes,
of like,
please.
what if your like local government or our government in a whole just decides that like they don't want anyone to leave their house, they just shut everyone's cars off.
Yeah, I mean that.
And they're like, hey, you just can't leave. Like,
right.
Like, sorry. Like, that sucks. You're not allowed to charge. We shut the outlets off of your house. You can't even charge your cars.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
What happens when we get into that, dude? Like, that would be...
That's a real reality.
Travis, right? that's not really a problem. Because what's going to happen is I'm going to go into the garage, pull the cover off the Z.
Hell yeah.
Right? And, you know, and then I'm going to put on my sunglasses. And then I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to step out. You know what I mean?
Right. But, no, I'm grabbing the Camaro out of the garage. I'm getting the
snap. Yeah, there you go.
I'm getting the 67 Camaro out of the garage that just chugs gasoline.
Yeah.
Other and I'm nothing freeway.
Oh yeah.
See where it's brah, just dumping.
Oh man, listen. So I want to say this before we go, because we usually don't get to speak right before an event. I wish you nothing but the best. Yes. Lucy, myself, and the whole crew here, we will be watching you.
Yep.
I think Lucy she's adamantly getting ready with her Travis Reader signs to stand in front of the TV. So we're ready, and I hope that I hope you absolutely murk these people without throwing any real blood.
Yes, sir.
That's always the plan. That's why we're here. So
yeah, definitely.
So we try to do.
Man, good luck.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. I know you're at the track ready to go. This is like Travis Leader live, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, man. He literally went on the side, jumped in his car, and was like, yo, I'm going to talk to my homies.
Yeah, right. That's what happened. That's
Travis for you right there.
The boys got it. They got their process. Yeah, they're ripping. Right. The car's getting shined up. They finished they did a valve lash adjustment. Looks like Matt pulled some logs. Jason was over there adjusting the tune because we're at like 4,500 feet. So we got some ECU tuning changes. We got, it's got fresh tires on it. I don't know. Things ready to rip, dude. Man, nut and bolt check. It's all done.
We are ready to go.
Yeah.
Any idea? Are you going to cruise through SEMA or is that just like?
I haven't decided yet. I almost want to go to just PRI.
Yeah.
Like PRI sounds fun. I've never been. I've been to SEMA, and SEMA's getting kind of tough nowadays. I heard like it's changed a lot, and like cheap to Vegas. The Vegas was expensive.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm freezing my ass off in PRI.
Yeah. Well, go Indy.
Yeah.
All right, man. Listen, I'm going to let you go. Thank you. Good luck. We will be watching starting tomorrow.
Appreciate it, Travis.
Yeah,
have a good
sounds
week.
Good.
All right, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'll catch you guys later.
We'll catch up with you.
Yep, later.
So, look, it's always good having Travis. It's nice to be able to catch up with him. I enjoy my conversations with him, whether I'm on a podcast or not. So that's dope. Man, I think Travis is one of those special relationships that we have. Where, you know, we were with him basically from his second event in Pro Spec right through now. So we've been with him for the most part in his, you know, quote unquote official professional career for, you know, since the beginning. And he's always been a good dude, and he's always as real as you think he would be.
Yep.
You know? And he super is the guy that you like. He's the enthusiast that welds, builds, fabricates.
That's right.
You know, works on his own car all the time, drives a car, really cares about the industry, and is a straight up enthusiast. So,
well, and I think it's one of those situations where, and we know this, you know, he's a pro drifter, but then he's all around car guy, the type of person that'll go to the weekend events and hang out with the grassroots dudes and just rip it with them as well, man. And I think that's what makes him so special. You know,
right.
That's the reason why we cheer for him, because he's just a car dude, you know, and I think that's what here as a company, we aim to be like kind of relationships with those type of people, because he's exciting, man. And not only that, after knowing him for this amount of years and being able to have a normal conversation with him, talk about conspiracy theories as we did for a second there, but also talk about what he's going on with Drift and also have conversations about EV and what's going on with that. Like, we can't normally have those conversations with people we don't have great relationships with. So I'm grateful to have that type of relationship with him.
Yeah. Well, ditto to all that. Listen, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us. Don't forget, we put up a piece of content every Friday on our YouTube channel, Koenig Wheels USA. Get subscribed. That's where all the giveaways go down. You don't want to miss those. So check in around 5 p.m. on Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Where we'll be dropping a piece of content as we always do every Friday. Don't forget, we go live on Instagram and Facebook, and we answer your questions every single week, and we have for years now.
Yeah.
On Instagram and Facebook. So make sure you head over there, check out our social.
You know, Richie's going on 3 months being here. Time flies. flies.
No, but I mean, I didn't know we were doing a check-in, so I didn't prepare my numbers, you know?
Yeah, if you're going to be at SEMA, by the way, come say what's up.
Damn, you're just throwing stuff out there all at random.
Yes, I can.
Because, you know, we have so many other Wednesdays before we even get to SEMA. Anyhow, thanks for hanging out
Peace
with us.
Out.
It's always a pleasure. We'll catch you next time.
Peace.